I'm Pastor Myron Dom. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound his word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening. Hey, this morning we have an opportunity. If you're newer to Northmar, you may not recognize this handsome couple. You've maybe seen their pictures as we pray for them each month. But Jose and Melanie were with us for 3.5 years as missionary candidate interns about 4 years ago. And then they were sent by our church and by the Holy Spirit to go to the country of Germany and serve the Lord by helping people in Germany understand who Jesus Christ is and what he can do. They're home now this summer and through the school year. Next year they'll go back to Germany next spring. But for this school year, they're with us here in Warren. It's our privilege to love on them and encourage them during this year of home assignment. So we're going to interview them in just a moment. But there's a verse of scripture I want to bring to your attention first because it kind of sets the stage for our whole interview this morning. Psalm 67 says this, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us." Just pause right there for a moment. When God is blessing you, when his grace is surrounding you, when you feel his face shining on you, isn't that good? Doesn't it encourage your heart? Doesn't it give you hope and faith no matter what you're facing to know, I'm not in this alone. He's right there in front of me. I can just follow him through this difficulty and he'll take care of me and he'll get the glory. The Lord does that for us individually so that we can show him off to people around us. Look at that next verse. Bless us, make your face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, it says in verse 2. Your salvation, say it with me, among all nations. God doesn't just take care of us for us. He takes care of us for the sake of others. He takes care of us so that others can see him in our experience. When you and I go through a difficult season, and we're praying and being obedient and trusting Jesus in spite of how hard it is, guess what people see? They see Jesus. When you and I are blessed and things are going well and we're grateful and we're talking about how good God is to us in the midst of all this joy and celebration, guess what people see? They see the Lord and his merciful hand. You are receiving God's face shining upon you, not just for you, but for others. Does that make sense? This is why we send people like Jose and Melanie off to the countries like Germany, where people have quit listening about God a long time ago. And we send them there to shine and to let God flood them with his grace, and for God to bless them in front of all those other people so that others can see Jesus through them. Does this make sense, church? It happens for us. It happens for them. There are people all around this planet who need to know God's mercy and grace. When we allow him to shine on us as we follow and seek him, it works real well. Well, this morning we're going to interview Jose and Melanie about how it's been working for them in Germany. If you look at that picture, you'll see that their family doubled since we last knew them. Tell us what happened.
Well, we had 2 children, Josiah and
Scoot
Ian.
Forward.
I got pregnant with Josiah 3 weeks after we got to Berlin.
Was he made in Germany or
yes,
made
both of our boys are Berliners, made in Germany.
Okay, made in Germany. Okay.
I just do want to say thank you, Northmar family. You all, a lot of you know that in the 3.5 years that we were here, we struggled with infertility. And the Lord does not always choose to answer our prayers in our timing or in the way that we hope. There are cases where the Lord chooses to physically heal, and there's times when he doesn't. And we're just very grateful that the Lord chose physical healing for our family and allowed us to have two children while we were there. Josiah, actually, his name means God has healed. And his middle name is Lucas, and that's the German form of Luke. It means light, because he brought light to us in a very hard time of our lives. And also we want, as a family, to be a light where we are. And then Ian came along 18 months later. He's Ian Paul, which means God is gracious and humble servant, because we just really are so thankful for God's grace to us. Thank you, family.
Amen. Wonderful. Let's thank God for the Chichias and their two precious kids. Those two boys are adorable. You can meet them in the nursery after this service. They're a delight. Well, Jose, tell us, God called you and Melanie to serve him in postmodern Europe. What's the present state of Christianity in that part of the world?
Myron, the present state of Christianity in Germany could be described as stagnant. And I wish I could say the same about Christianity in Berlin, but the truth is very far from that. Even though we see pockets of Christianity here and there, we have homosexuality, lesbianism, and atheism winning the battle. Hmm. And Safransky, a German philosopher, describes the religion of Germany as a very left-brained, very cognitive, not focused on personal commitment, but on rituals and membership. No wonder the state church, which is Protestant, is almost dead. It's disappearing. The percentage of committed Christians in Germany is at around 3-4% of its population.
Wow. Jose, what are the areas of openness to the gospel there in Berlin? Are there any areas of openness?
There is freedom of religion in Germany as a constitutional right. And even though atheism is prevalent in Berlin, the city is also known for its openness to spirituality. Spirituality that is totally postmodern. What that means is that Germans believe that Jesus is not the only way to heaven, but he's just one of the many ways, one of the options there. Big problem with this buffet of religions is that it's just a facade to cover people's pain and people's spiritual emptiness. Can you imagine how painful it is to wake up to the reality that you are 40, that you are messed up, that your relationships are all broken, that you don't have your dream job, and that you have nothing to look forward to. This awakening, Myron, is hurting Germans in Berlin very badly. And so Berliners are very open to relationships. The issue with this is that building strong relationships that allow you to share your faith takes a long time. And God is faithful, though. We've seen him providing us with opportunities to share our faith with people. And some people come to Christ.
Amen. Jose, you and Melanie have coined this phrase, immigrants serving immigrants. Tell us what that means.
It means that God is sovereign over us. It means us being willing to follow him in humble obedience. You know that when we were here, we were originally going to go to Spain, but God changed the plan. He sent us to Germany to love on Germans. And I remember that right before we went to Germany, I was sitting over there in that area, and I was praying and asking God, you can't send me to, not complaining, just pleading with him, you can't send me to Germany if you don't give me love for Germans. So he, that day, that morning, as we were worshiping together, he gave me a package. And he told me during the service, here, take love for Germans. So we received love from the Lord to go and love on Germans. And as we got to spend time with them in these last years, our love and compassion for them has grown deeper.
Melanie, tell us, how has God opened doors for the two of you, who are both fluent in Spanish, to minister to Spanish speakers? And why are there so many Spanish-speaking people in Berlin right now?
Well, God has opened a lot of doors, actually. And as part of moving to another country with the Alliance, there's language school requirements. And so Germany has a two-year language school requirement. And so we were sometimes in classes, sometimes in tutoring, and in the classes, there are often quite a few Spanish speakers in our classes as well, learning German alongside of us. And it was just natural that during the breaks or after class, we would interact with them. And even as we were pursuing relationships with Germans, it just was more natural and easier. The Spanish speakers were more open, as we would just be able to step into relationship with them. And so that's one example. Another example is Feinkost, which is a women's cooking evening once a month. Myron and Sharon had a chance to come and see that when they came to Berlin. And basically, it's a German outreach event for German-speaking ladies. And for whatever reason, the Lord saw fit. Spanish-speaking ladies just started showing up. And so it was my responsibility at that time then to follow up with the Spanish-speaking ladies. And so, yeah, it was clear at the end of language school that God had brought us to Berlin, not just to work with Germans, but also to work with Spanish speakers. So I feel in a lot of ways we got the best of all the worlds. Yeah. Also, the reason that there are so many Spanish speakers and Spaniards in Germany is because of the economy in the European Union. As you all, I'm sure, are familiar, Spain has had a quite a large economic crisis. And as a result, you have a lot of Spaniards that are without work, that are looking for jobs, looking for employment. You also have a lot of people from Latin America that have immigrated to Europe, to Spain, to work, to provide for their families. And with the economic crisis, they've been able to become European Union citizens. And then all of these people are now immigrating into Germany and specifically Berlin. And so the Lord really has brought the nations to Berlin in quite a lot of ways. It's not just Spanish speakers. There's a lot of refugee situations as well. And Berlin is one of the biggest places that immigrants are coming. And so just as an example, we're working with German and Spanish-speaking couples. But we also are working with people from Spain and all over Latin America, for example, Bolivia, Peru, Mexico, Guatemala, Costa Rica, Colombia, Argentina, and Paraguay, and all of these people God has brought to Berlin.
Amazing, amazing. If you recall, church family, God had prepared Jose and Melanie with Spanish as a heart language. They were feeling called to go serve in Spain. God changed things up, and none of us could understand, why would you send two Spanish speakers to Berlin, Germany? God, what are you doing? God, are you sure you didn't mix this up? Are you sure you didn't get the names changed on somebody? Shouldn't these two be going to Spain? And you can recall us, you know, praying and saying, Lord, what's up with this? And God knew all along that Berlin would become an area of immigration for so many Latin American, Central American, and Spanish people to come. Wouldn't it be strategic to have two Spanish speakers there at that same place, immigrants serving immigrants? That's our Lord at work. He always knows best, doesn't he, church? He always knows best. Amen. Jose, what do you hope to see accomplished as a result of you and Melanie living and serving in Berlin?
We hope to develop a multicultural church planting movement in the city. And in order to accomplish this, we have in mind three key components. The first one is the joy and the challenges of working in a multicultural setting. The second one is the concept of doing ministry in the context of the city and not in a small town. And the third one is the immigrants' quest. How do we respond to this particular mentality that we think people, immigrants need to be set free from.
How do you intend to minister cross-culturally to these immigrants, and what are some of the difficulties, Melanie, that you face because of the mindset of the immigrant?
Well, being immigrants ourselves, it is hard. It's hard to learn language. It's hard to learn culture, especially when you have a host culture that has very particular ways of doing things, as is the case in Germany, and to not know how to do those things in the right way, in the way that they're expecting you to know. And so I think in one way it's difficult going through that process, but the Lord has given us grace, and also being immigrants ourselves, that we are going through the same process together. You also heard the list of countries where people that we are working with are coming from, and that's also including Germany. There's a lot of different cultures, and so realizing that somebody from Latin America may have lived in Spain for years, and so they have Latin American tendencies, but they also have European tendencies, and in one moment they may be acting in a particular way, and in another moment they may be acting in a different way. And so not being able to generalize cultural things, but actually on a one-on-one basis, realizing that culture is a very individual thing, and then trying to figure out how does that work when you get everybody together, when you have people from all over the place. They may all speak Spanish or be learning Spanish or learning German, as is the case with a lot of our the spouses that are married to Spanish speakers, a lot of German spouses. But culturally, they're very different. The other thing that's very hard is developing a relationship of trust, an environment where trust can be built, because that takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of coffee drinking. It takes a lot of one-on-one time with people. And so you want to build a relationship with someone not because you want them to accept the gospel, but because God loves them. And making sure that they know you're not my project. I'm not just becoming your friend or building a relationship with you because I want you to come to Christ. Of course I do want that. But because God cares about you as a person, regardless of what you decide. So that is a big challenge as well. That takes a lot of time. And many immigrants are there to work, and so they're busy learning language. They're busy just trying to survive, figuring out a new system. It takes a lot of time and energy, and a lot of them are also working. And so just finding time to get together with them is very difficult.
I know that God's opening doors for you with Spanish-speaking people. How is He also providing opportunities to minister to German-speaking people?
You know, He's giving us the opportunity to teach at a seminary a theological seminary in the South. I was teaching theology of the New Testament there. And the cool thing about this invitation is that I have the rector, the academic dean, and the professor of New Testament studies asking me what I was going to teach, the contents of the class, and it was very important for them to hear that I was going to teach, that I wasn't going to teach the liberal theology, and that I believed in the inspiration and in the authority of the scriptures.
Amen.
And in the North, he's giving us the opportunity to be part of a new institute. We're in conversations with the founder of this institute. It's the Berliner Institute for Urban Transformation, a movement that is happening right in the heart of the city of Berlin. And I will probably be teaching there to Germans.
That's great. Melanie, what are some of the joys and challenges that you guys have faced so far in this multicultural ministry God's called you to?
There's a lot, but I would say one of the great joys is that we get to use Spanish. We get to be in Spanish culture. Spanish has become one of my heart languages, as Myron mentioned, and is Jose's heart language. And so to be able to have that as a huge part of our ministry, that has been a great joy for us. Also, when you're an immigrant, you crave relationship, you crave anything familiar. And so as a result, immigrants are often more open to the gospel because they're not in their home country. And so being able to come alongside of people in that moment of just disorientation or they're lost, and to be able to be family and to be support for them, the immigration actually creates a need for Christ in their life or helps them see the need that they have for Christ. Mm. As a result, people are coming to faith and living in a relationship with Jesus. That has been a great joy to see people take a step of faith and say, yes, I want to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Challenges. One of the greatest challenges that we have is that Jose and I are the only ones on our Northeast Germany team with the CMA working. We're specifically working in Berlin, and we're the only ones on the team that speak Spanish. And so the Lord has called us to not just plant a multicultural church when we return, which would be German-Spanish, but to plant a church planting movement. And we're two people, and I would have to say at the end of our first term, you come to this place where you're at the end of yourself, and you just have to say, God, we need more. And if you're calling us to something that is, it's massive, we're two people, so you have to do it in us, Lord. So that is a huge challenge, and then the other challenge would be the language, because German is very complex, and we've learned conversational German, we've taken our formal test and everything, but to be able to really have deep conversations about how are you really doing and spiritual conversations, our German is still a work in progress.
There you go, there you go. It will be for some time, yes. I'm sure, yes, yes. Jose, what other doors for ministry among Germans do you sense God preparing you for?
Right before we came to the U.S., 2 months before we came, I received a phone call from the seminary in the South, and an email from them, inviting me to teach more New Testament theology and in other classes at the seminary. Mm. And we're also networking with Christian leaders in the city of Berlin, and getting together to pray more for to intercede and pray for Berlin. Mm. We believe that as we intercede and God pours out His blessings on the city, we're going to see Germans coming to Christ.
Mm. Amen. During this year of home assignment, how can we partner with the two of you?
Two very practical ways. One that you all have done so well already is praying. We would ask for you to pray that the Lord would raise up Spanish-speaking workers in this year that would either be willing to learn German or that already can speak German to partner with us in the church plant when we return to Berlin next year. God has opened some pretty incredible doors in the last few months with actually the field of Spain with national pastors. They've already sent a worker to Frankfurt, to the Spanish-speaking Alliance Church in Frankfurt, Germany, and also to England. So God is already raising up Spaniards and Spanish pastors to go into other countries as well, and that would be a huge option for us. Another would be the partner church that we have in Frankfurt, that many of them do speak German, especially the younger generation. They're fluent in German and Spanish, and the Lord is not particular in His calling. He calls people of every culture and background and language to serve Him. And so we're just praying that God would not only call the people, but give them the boldness to step out into that. Mm. Because there's specifically one couple in the Frankfurt church that God has called into ministry, and just that they would be able to stand up and have the support behind them and to come and to join us. Mm. Another prayer request would be more of the Holy Spirit. Like I had mentioned earlier, we all need more of the Lord, and Amen. Especially to do the things that He's called us to do. So if you would just join us in prayer that God would just fill us with more of Himself. And the third thing would just be for a time of refreshing and strengthening this year in the States. It is hard to be overseas and to not be with your church family and to be able to worship every Sunday morning with a body of believers where the Spirit's moving. And so it is our great privilege to be here, and we're very thankful for that. But if you would just pray that the Lord would strengthen us and encourage us this year, get us ready to go back. Amen. The second way that you can partner is just connecting with us. There's a lot of familiar faces, and there's a lot of new faces. And so we would love to sit down with you guys, maybe have coffee or a meal or something, and just be able to hear your stories and to pray for you and with you, and to share what God's doing in Berlin. This is our heart, and we would love to be able to share more.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Let's thank God for these servants this morning. Amen. I wanted to get Jose and Melanie up in front of you here at the beginning of their year of home service. They just arrived here in the area just a couple weeks ago. But coming this fall, and then most of the spring as well, Jose will be on a speaking tour to other Christian and Missionary Alliance churches, sharing about the work in Germany and encouraging those believers to be praying and giving to missions. So he'll be gone much of the school year traveling to other churches. So you've really got this summer and then some breaks of early fall, Christmas, late spring before they're going to be going back to Germany. If you delay in getting to know them until the new year or next spring, it just won't happen. So can I encourage you, take advantage of these weeks leading up to the fall, these summer weeks where you can reach out to Jose and Melanie, and then this fall, as you're able, invite them to be part of a growth group, a Bible study, one of your gatherings, let them come and share their story, get to know them and their children, and you'll be so blessed to have a personal connection with this couple whom the Lord has called to serve in Germany. They're one of our missionaries we've sent forth from this place. I want to encourage you, get to know them personally. You'll be blessed for doing so. You can get their contact information at the church office. They're living in Champion. They'll be right here local, close. We'll see them most Sundays, Melanie and the kids for sure. So just make this effort, if you would, church family, to reach out and bless them. Let's pray for them. Would you join me as we pray? Father God, I thank you so much for Jose and Melanie, and I thank you for your faithfulness during their first term. Lord, it was not easy to learn a third language, and yet you prospered them in it, and you enabled them to come to a place of proficiency that they could reach out and minister to both those that speak German as well as those that have Spanish as their heart language. Thank you for allowing them to use their Spanish in that country. How strategic of you to plant two Spanish speakers in Berlin at this time. We couldn't see it in advance, but you knew all about it. It encourages our faith and our ability to trust you because of your work, even through the chinchillas. I pray that you would bless them as they're reconnecting with the Northmar family during this school year. I pray that they would be able to feel loved and supported, that many new faces would become familiar, and that next year at this time, we'd be sending them back to Germany energized, fueled up, and ready to go because you answered their prayer. Please, Holy Spirit, come and do your work here. Our eyes are on you. We welcome Jose and Melanie back. In Jesus' name we pray, church. Amen. Amen. I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. Come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarchurch.com. or simply download the Northmar Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of His presence in your life.